This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And welcome to the People Speak Radio. This is your host, David Swanson. We are live at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net, and we are privileged to have with us for the next hour as our guest, perhaps the most serious, most useful, most diligent, most inspiring reporter who's working constantly on election integrity, on whether our votes are counted in ways that we can be sure they are counted. The creator, among many other things, of BradBlog.com, Brad Friedman. Brad, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, David. You have exhausted me just with that introduction and reminding me just how difficult this whole thing is. I much appreciate it.
How long you been working on elections in this country?
Let's see, pretty much since November 3rd, 2004, starting at around 3 a.m. Eastern time, and I don't think I've had much of a break since then. In truth, actually, BradBlog started in early 2004, and, you know, I kind of had my eye on some of these concerns about these so-called black boxes. You know, back then you had Bev Harris of Black Box Voting, who was trying to bang the drum, and not a lot of folks were paying attention, really, including myself. We ran a few stories at BradBlog, but it wasn't until I saw what happened, you know, on that, November 3rd, around 2 or 3 a.m., when suddenly something did not seem right, I started digging into that story, trying to figure out what went wrong, and something did go terribly wrong in 2004. And that has sort of taken me on this odyssey, this journey into our actual electoral system, not the horse race, mind you, but the track conditions and how it is that our democracy actually happens or doesn't. And what most folks really don't understand, because the corporate mainstream media doesn't cover it, is that we have a disastrous system that almost no one can assure is actually accurate and that votes get counted as the voters intended it. And then you throw in, groups like the Republican Party, who have a, you know, great interest in people not casting their vote at all, and they're going to extraordinary lengths to keep that from happening because they realize, the Republicans figured out, well, the fewer people that vote, the better chance that we have of winning, because, you know, by and large, the disenfranchised voters out there are, you know, the minorities, the elderly, the youth, all sort of groups that tend to vote Democratic. So there is a Republican war on voting right now, and there's just a lot of fronts in this battle for democracy. But hey, you know, the other thing that I've come to learn is that if we expect to have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, then we, the people, need to step up and have that eternal vigilance that I think some of our founders may have spoken about in the quaint documents like the Constitution and so forth. It's time for the people to stand up and save their democracy, because I promise you, it ain't going to save itself.
Well, I remember very well that moment when the Kerry victory over Bush was thrown by the wayside. And, you know, I was working at the AFL-CIO, and I proposed a general strike, and people looked at me like I was insane. And there's still people I run into today who imagine that election fraud hasn't really been an issue since Florida in 2000. Things have been going better now. Technology has saved us and so forth. But... But for those of us who really got involved in that moment, and I'm sure this is where I met you, this is where I met most people, was in those weeks and months after Carrie threw it away. The story began then and has grown worse and worse, while the corporate media's coverage has grown less and less. And more and more of us have been turning to places like Bradblog for our information. What's happened since 2004? And in particular, do you have any indication that any of the presidential candidates this time would fight an apparently fraudulent election, or can we expect throwing in the towel again?
You can expect throwing in the towel again. And I hate to say that, but we have already seen that. I'll give you one example: is New Hampshire, the very first primary of the year. You had some 20 different pre-election polls, all showing that Barack Obama was going to win handily up in New Hampshire. They all had almost identical data, despite these pre-election polls being run independently from each other. Then you had actual exit polls on that day, which has been confirmed. Actually, Chris Matthews confirmed on the air the day following the New Hampshire election, and a very well-known pollster has confirmed directly to me that, in fact, it looked like Obama was going to win. They were seeing data all day long showing those exit polls, and those are, you know, more accurate than any other type of poll, because you're just grabbing people as they're coming out of the polls and saying, hey, who did you vote for just now? They all showed that Obama was going to win handily in New Hampshere. And yet, when
adjusted, Brad, these are unadjusted exit poll numbers, correct? They haven't been monkeyed with to make them work.
Well, that's right. And a lot of people don't understand that, as most of the exit poll data you see out there has actually been adjusted to match the final results of the election after they find out what those results are. But if you are one of the lucky few, one of the elite who is allowed to see that raw data, like Chris Matthews, like the pollster that I mentioned, you get to see what the exit polls, you know, said during the day before they were adjusted. And in both of those cases, back in New Hampshire, both of those guys, you know, said that Obama should have won. Now, we do have election updates that, upsets. That's not, you know, all that unusual in and of itself. And it could have happened that Hillary suddenly had a last-minute bunch of voters who decided to come out for her. But, you know, what was interesting after New Hampshire is that you had all of these pollsters with all this identical information, including the exit polls, wringing their hands, torturing themselves to figure out where they went wrong. Not once did they stop to go, well, are we sure that the final results are actually correct? Now, mind you, those final results were counted, 80% of the vote in New Hampshire was counted on the very Diebold machines that you can see in Hacking Democracy, HBO's documentary, Diebold AccuVote OS version 1.094W, the very machine that they were able to hack an election in that documentary film, in such a way that you would never know the election was hacked unless you bothered to count the actual paper ballots. They did have paper ballots up in New Hampshire. That's the good news. But then they didn't bother to count them. They ran them through these hackable machines and simply trusted that information without bothering to count them. Now, this question began with you saying, is there a sign that any of these candidates get it? Well, Barack Obama was close enough in that New Hampshire election. The machine-announced results were close enough that, as a candidate, for $2,000, that's all, for simply $2,000, he could have had a hand recount of every ballot in New Hampshire, and he didn't do it. Why? You know, with that kind of anomalous result, which, as I say, maybe it was correct, maybe it wasn't. We know it was done on hackable voting systems. You know, this guy is making money hand over fist, is coming in, millions of dollars to support his candidacy. He can't afford $2,000 to assure that every vote is counted and counted accurately. That was pretty dispiriting for me to see, and it's one of the indications that I would suggest, these guys, I don't think they're going to stand up and fight for every vote unless John McCain is the one who feels like he got screwed, in which case Republicans don't seem to share the same genetic makeup that Democrats have, where they are terrified of, you know, speaking out, of fighting for the voters, of making sure that every vote is counted and counted accurately, because they're afraid of being tarred as, well, you remember, sore losermen from the 2000 election. They're afraid of that. They're not going to speak up. On the other hand, when Republicans feel they get screwed, oh boy, they will raise holy hell and they will go all the way as far as they need to, legally and every other way, all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary, as occurred in 2000, in order to make sure that every vote is counted, well, at least the ones they want to be counted. They, you know, they're not afraid in that sense, and probably for good reason, because they know that Democrats are not necessarily going to run out and start calling them sore losers and tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists. Perhaps Democrats should do that, but frankly, you know, I applaud anyone who wants to get every vote counted. On the other hand, going back to 2000, you know, Bush went to the Supreme Court not to get every vote counted, but to get them to stop counting the votes, and for good reason, because as we all as some of us who were paying attention later learned, Al Gore actually received more votes by every conceivable counting standard in the state of Florida.
If you did a full recount of the whole state.
If you counted all the votes in the state, Al Gore received more votes. Now, they're supposed to count all the votes in the state. And you're right. You point out, ironically, Gore had asked for a recount of just a couple of counties. Bush said, no, that's unfair. I want to count the entire state. Had they only counted a couple of counties, Gore would not have been declared the winner. Had they counted the entire state instead of stopping it at the Supreme Court, then, yeah, Al Gore would have been the president.
So about New Hampshire, now there were some precincts, were there not, where they did hand count the ballots and, in fact, tended to get different results.
Yeah, you did have 20% of the approximately 20% of the precincts, or 20% of the votes actually in New Hampshire were in fact counted by hand. It's one of the few states that still does hand counted paper ballots, and you had a very different result than those ballots that were counted on the Diebold machines. In the hand counted precincts, Barack Obama won, and the results were almost identically flipped in the Diebold precincts. In those, Hillary Clinton won. Now, in and of itself, that's not necessarily a sign of fraud, because there are reasons why the hand-counted towns, they tend to be smaller towns for whatever reason. Perhaps Barack Obama was more popular in the smaller towns. Hillary was more popular in the big cities. I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be a logical explanation, but it's one you can't confirm as being the case unless you bother to actually count the votes. And when you've got a result as anomalous as that one, it's common sense. Count the damn ballots. So why Barack Obama didn't think it was important to step up and do that when he had that opportunity for $2,000 and could have shown the entire, Democratic Party, but could have showed the entire country that he's damn serious about election integrity, and yet he didn't. You know, needless to say, it was very disappointing. On the other hand, I was glad to see Dennis Kucinich step up, at least for a while. He raised some money and asked for a recount. Unfortunately, he did not do a full recount. He only did a partial recount of about 25% of the votes. In fact, they found error after error after error when they bothered to actually count those ballots, and they found an appalling chain of custody situation in New Hampshire, where you had, you know, boxes that were not sealed, boxes of ballots that were not sealed that you can stick your hand into. The state would not account for any of the very sensitive memory cards that are used in the computer tabulators. They wouldn't allow Kucinich to count the blank ballots. The unvoted ballots, it's very important to count those so you know that, well, you know, did they use some of those ballots to stuff the box? So he stepped forward for a bit. He did not go all the way, I'm sorry to say, but, you know, it was costing him thousands and thousands of dollars, whereas it would have cost Obama, because he was so close to Hillary, according to state law, he could have had that full recount for $2,000, but didn't do it, David.
And he had the money and Dennis didn't. Brad, I want to tell people how they can get in on this conversation because you're raising so many issues. There are going to be a lot of questions. We are speaking with Brad Friedman, the creator of bradblog.com and one of our nation's experts on election integrity and the problems with election fraud we are seeing around the country. And this is David Swanson, your host at thepeoplespeakradio.net. You can go to thepeoplespeakradio.net and go to listen live and go to the chat room and send me your questions to ask Brad, or you can call in toll free on the good old telephone and get in on this conversation from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Anywhere else in the world, 877-489-6350. Now, Brad, we're talking about New Hampshire and actual physical pieces of paper that they counted or didn't count or recounted. In a lot of states, we have touchscreen machines where there isn't any piece of paper. And some people are under the impression that once you've got a piece of paper, as in New Hampshire, you're okay. And if you have a machine, an OptiScan machine to scan it with, so much the better because you're putting high technology to use. What's an accurate view here?
Well, you know, if you think that those optical scan systems are accurate and can't be easily gamed, again, I'll refer folks to HBO's Hacking Democracy. I think you can even see it online now. You can certainly go to Brad Blog, search for Hacking Democracy, and we've got like links to the climactic closing scene of that film, where in fact a single person gets inappropriate access to one of those machines. Actually, not even to one of those machines, just one of the memory cards that I was talking about, the ones that they destroyed in New Hampshire and they wouldn't allow Kucinich to see. One person gets a hold of those, you can flip an entire election. And you can see this hack right before your very eyes. You can see the paper ballots going through the scanner in this mock election where they ask, can Diebold op scans be hacked via their memory cards? And you've got seven people who say yes and two people who say no. You see the ballots right before your eyes. They run them through there, and what do you know? When the results are printed out, it's completely flipped. You know, with more people saying no, it can't be hacked. It's remarkable. It's frightening, and yet at the same time, you referred to the touchscreen systems. Believe it or not, those are even worse because at least with the paper-based OptScan systems, you can actually count the ballots if you bother to do it, and you know that in fact you can count them by hand and know that in fact you're looking at the actual voter intent. When it comes to these touchscreen systems, many of them have no paper trail at all, and those that do have a paper trail, this little cash register style tape that kicks out of the side of these touchscreen machines, guess what? Nobody counts those paper trails. They can be gamed as easily as the systems that don't have the paper trails. A touchscreen system, it's actually a DRE, Direct Recording Electronic Voting System. A DRE system can be hacked whether it's got a paper trail or not, and it is simply, at the end of the day, completely and entirely impossible to ever verify that a single vote has been counted accurately on one of those DRE machines. So if you got folks listening out there who have voted on those touchscreen machines, you know, I would invite them to call their local county registrar and ask that registrar if they can prove that any vote, any single vote ever cast on a touchscreen voting machine during an election, if it was ever recorded any single vote accurately for any ballot or any candidate or initiative on the ballot. They can't prove it. It can't be done. And I would suggest that is an absolutely insane way to run your democracy. You simply cannot prove any single vote was ever recorded accurately on that type of voting machine.
And yet, Brad, I go and I talk to the local election officials and volunteers in my town where I live, Charlottesville, Virginia, and they tell me that I'm a slacker, first of all. I'm not out there volunteering with them, so I don't have any right to question what they're doing. And I'm cynical. I'm distrustful. Why don't I put my trust in them. They're good people. They're volunteering or they're being paid very little money, and they keep a close eye on these machines. They're very serious. They're very diligent. They intend for no elections to be stolen. And if you hand counted everything, any two hand counts would get a different answer because you have so many ballots that you're just guaranteed to get different answers. You're much better off with high technology. And, you know, now one response to that, of course, is, well, we shouldn't have to trust anybody, whoever you are. We
right.
should have a public, transparent counting, so we don't have to trust you. But that doesn't seem to convince anybody.
Well, it's not going to convince the election officials because the election officials have bought into these what the voting machine companies have told them. Now, it's become clear in the last year or so as independent tests and exams of these machines have finally been carried out, it has become clear that every single one of them is hackable within seconds' time, is prone to error, all in disagreement with what the voting machine companies told everybody. They told everyone these were accurate and secure, and they told them to election officials like the ones you mentioned, and those election officials in turn went to their own county or their state, and they said, hey, give me, you know, $20 million to buy these machines. They're great. And now that it's proven that they are not and that they were, in fact, defrauded by the companies, these election officials are having a very difficult time going back to their you know, county board of supervisors and saying, oh, I was wrong. That $20 million we spent was a waste of money. We need to throw out the machines and we need to buy, give me another $20 million for a bunch of new machines, because it will mean their job if they do. Now, I don't know which election official you want to mention any names, by the way?
I would have no problem doing so, but I can't recall the particular.
Okay, well, because these guys are public servants, and if they told you that they should be trusted, then their name should be on record so that they could be watched closer than ever before. As you rightly point out, our system, our Constitution, is not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances, period. And, I was on the radio with an election official from Monterey. Tony Anchunda was his name. He was a 18-year election official from Monterey County, California, and he was demonstrating on the radio his brand-new touchscreen voting system that he was very proud of back in 2006.
On the radio.
Yeah, set aside the fact that he's demonstrating his touchscreen system on the radio. But when I asked him, these particular systems out in California actually had these paper trails, and I asked him, I said, well, are you going to bother to actually look at those paper trails? Do they make a difference? He said, oh, yes, we're going to examine them. How many are you going to examine, Tony? He said, 100% of them. I said, well, that's interesting. And what happens at the end of the election, if it turns out if you actually do count 100% of them, and I doubted that he would, but taking him at his word, I said, what happens if you do count those paper trails and you find out they don't match up with the internal numbers reported by the machines? Which numbers are you going to use? He said, well, Brad, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I said, don't you think that's a bad idea, that maybe you should know prior to the election how it is, you know, you're going to handle such a situation? He said, well, look, Brad, to a certain extent, you have to have faith and trust in your election officials. He said, and in that case, that would be me. Now, that was September of 2006 that he said we have faith and trust in our election officials, guys like him. By April of 2007, Tony Anchundo had been charged with 43 criminal counts, including forgery, grand theft, one count after another. That's the sort of official that we are supposed to trust? I don't think so. And that would be foolish. And the best election officials out there will tell you, don't trust me. I'm not to be trusted. If you can't see it, you shouldn't trust it. Now, there's not a lot of election officials out there who say that. But, you know, I'll recognize Ion Sancho, the legendary, great election official down in Leon County, Florida. Freddie Oakley, another great election official up in Yolo County, California. They will tell you, you know, if you can't see it, don't trust it. There's no reason to trust me. By and large, I suspect most of the election officials and certainly most of the poll workers out there are trustworthy individuals. That doesn't matter. It's not about trust. It's about oversight and checks and balances. And, you know, we have obscured all, you know, more and more, almost all of the opportunities in places like Virginia for the public to even be able to have oversight, because everything is secretized and corporatized inside a computer black box that not even Superman could oversee or verify. So I applaud you, David, for asking questions of these people, and I hope you will continue to hold their feet to the fire, get their names, videotape them, be there on election night, and demand that your voting system be transparent so it's worthy of our democracy.
Yeah, no, these guys aren't hiding. We've had debates on local radio. They are open about their opinions, and I believe most of them are well-intentioned but poorly informed. I think the exceptions may be people like this head of the Republicans in San Diego, recently reported by you, I think, and discovered to be a serious hacker. But and maybe we can talk about that. But we're starting to get questions for you, Brad, by email, and I want to tell people how they can phone in as well to the People Speak Radio. If you want to ask a question of Brad Friedman, call from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, toll-free, 888-228-4494. Or anywhere else in the world, 877-489-6350. And this is a little bit of a change of subject, but we have a question from Jack in Canada. Is the Ohio presidential vote certified yet? And presumably he means 2004.
Yeah, it was certified. It was not accurate. Neither was it actually counted. And in fact, several election officials in Cuyahoga County, the largest county in Ohio, were sentenced to prison for rigging the partial recount that they had that, I should add, was asked for by the Green and Libertarian parties, not by the Democratic Party, not by John Kerry. So it may be that the he was an emailer, right? Maybe that,
yes.
The emailer was asking, is the 2008 election certified yet?
It could be.
And actually, The Onion did a very, very funny video where they had a supposed official from Diebold apologizing for announcing the results of the 2000 election early. And in fact, it turns out that John McCain won, according to The Onion's Diebold official.
The 2008 election, right?
That's right.
They let slip the results before actually holding the election.
That's right.
And
you know, by the way, it's amusing if it weren't so damn plausible. I mean, we've seen now study after study. I had a Diebold insider source of mine who gave me a Diebold touchscreen machine that I then passed on to Princeton University, who did a rather famous test where they found, in fact, that a single person with access to one of these machines could insert a virus that could pass itself from machine to machine to infect an entire county's election and flip that election without detection. That's how sensitive these voting systems are.
The thing is that we have such a fetish in this country for technology, and people don't want to give it up. And, you know, even in Virginia, the state has said you can't buy any more DREs at the local level, but you can still buy the Optiscans, right? So the places with the DREs, when they get too many more people, too many families have babies, or too many machines break down, they have to either go to hand counting or go to Optiscans. And the idea is to go to Optiscans. But what you mentioned earlier about the Republicans not having any hesitation about challenging things, I think, is true as a general rule, that they play offense and the Democrats play defense. But what we saw in 2006 here in the senatorial race, where Webb beat Allen, and I think probably honestly did beat Allen and took his seat, was all sorts of reports of apparent fraud and monkey business, and we saw and a lot of it apparently on behalf of Allen, although it wasn't enough for him to win. And so when it came down really close, Allen chose not to challenge anything, not to look into anything. And one speculation is that that's because he knew that what would be uncovered would be that he lost by a bigger margin than he officially lost by.
Right.
What's your take? There's a nice book by Mark Crispin Miller that you've contributed to called Loser Take All, in which he argues, as he's argued in his previous book, that in 2006 the Democrats probably won considerably more than 30 seats had we honestly counted the votes. What do you think happened in 2006?
Well, you know, you point out one important point here, is that to me, at its core, this really is not a partisan issue. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. And in fact, in that 2006 election, when you saw what happened with Allen, when you saw what happened with what's his name down in Pennsylvania, the Republican. Who's the crazy guy?
I'm so glad he's gone. What is?
I know. Isn't it nice that we've already forgotten his name? Santorum.
Yes, Santorum.
Santorum. Yeah. He had reports in Pennsylvania. One of the rare instances where there was reports of the touchscreen voting machines flipping people going to vote and the ballots flipping from Republican to Democrat. Very unusual. Usually you hear that, you know, the other way around. We heard thousands of stories of that in 2004 with people trying to vote on a touchscreen and flips from Democrat to Republican. So he heard these stories that votes were flipping from Republican to Democrat, and he called for those machines. They filed a lawsuit immediately to have those machines sequestered so that they could be tested to figure out what went wrong. Well, he eventually lifted that request. Those machines were never tested, and I suggest it could be because they didn't want to find what they might find in those machines. You know, I would encourage, and I have worked with Republicans, by the way, who have gotten screwed by these machines, you know, to help them challenge the election as far as finding out how the machines actually counted their votes. We saw in the Republican primary in Texas in 2006, you had a very conservative Supreme Court justice in the Republican primary who had previously won in Winkler County. In the previous two elections, he had won in Winkler by 74% one year, by 65% the next year. This year, or in 2006, he lost by 100%. He received zero votes in Winkler County. Seems to me that's a problem. And I was more than happy to work with him, you know, to try to figure out what went wrong and to challenge that election. But down in Texas, they got a law that you've got 9 days to make your case and to examine these, the voting system. And are you kidding me? 9 days? Apparently, I mean, it's an old law that gives you 9 days because ain't nobody can even crack those machines open in 9 days, much less do the type of forensic examination that would be required to figure out what went wrong in these systems. So, you know, I don't care who it affects. You know, this is a democracy that cannot be overseen by the public. And, you know, for Republicans to say these are crazy Democratic conspiracy theories is, I would suggest, rather short-sighted, because this stuff can come to bite them just as much as it can bite the Democrats. You've got to have transparency in the system.
No, it's an important point. Whether our votes get counted ought to matter to everyone who wants a democracy with honest results, whatever your politics may be. I was struck. I read former Senator Lincoln Chafee's new autobiographical book. It was maybe the last sane Republican in Congress, and his account of being in the Senate when members of the House Congressional Black Caucus brought their complaints about the election in Florida. And rather than addressing their concerns about election fraud and suppression, he maintains that, oh, they just didn't want Bush to be president because they thought he would be an awful president. And then he goes on to say, had I known how awful a president Bush really would turn out to be, I would have joined in the protest of the results in Florida. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, regardless of whether you thought it was an honest election or not, you're going to join in or not join in based on what you think of the president? This is missing the point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely missing the point. And that's what I, you know, speak to when I say it's short-sighted. You know, you either have a transparent participatory democracy or you do not. And, you know, if your only interest is a partisan one in gaming the system, that is not democracy. And I'm afraid we've got a lot of folks like that in both of the major parties who are only interested in staying in power or getting power. And look, to a certain extent, we, I guess, expect that of them. I mean, these parties are formed in part so that they can, get power and move forward with their agenda. They've lost track in many cases of you know, what they ought to be doing when they, are representing the country. But, you know, we understand bad guys are going to be bad guys. That is why the media has been given special consideration in the Constitution that no other industry was given. They were given the freedom of the press. You know, they don't speak of freedom of dentists or freedom of blacksmiths. They speak of freedom of the press. So we rely on the press. We rely on the Fourth Estate to keep those people who have an interest in gaming the system, we rely on them to keep things honest. And when they don't, as they haven't, the entire house of cards comes, you know, crumbling down. The media, the corporate media is not doing their job. The bad guys, no matter what party they're in, are getting away with absolute murder. Sometimes, well, too frequently, you know, literally getting away with murder. And, it's left to the citizenry to say, hey, what the hell is going on? And that's where guys like you, David, or me have, you know, finally had to step up and say, okay, well, if the media won't be the media, then we'll be the media. And that's what we have had to do. And, you know, I suspect you're going to see more and more and more of that until the corporate mainstream media remembers what they're doing here and starts doing their job again. I hope it's soon, because I would love to be put out of business, but I don't suspect that's going to be happening anytime soon.
I'm not sure I want that to ever happen. We've got a ton of emailed questions and callers on the phone, but I just want to ask you if you'll give me a number. What would you guess? How many seats did the Democrats honestly win and the Republicans honestly win, new seats, in 2006?
You know, I can't tell you, because, again, this is one of those problems. We have no idea. It's 100% faith-based elections. But I can, I'll quote to you what the folks at the Election Defense Alliance have said based on their study in 2006 called Landslide Denied. They said, while the Democrats ended up picking up, what was it, 30 seats or so, that comparing the data to the exit polls, that it should have been more like 40 or 50 seats. They believe there was about a 4%, what they call a red shift across the country that occurred, and that, in fact, the Democrats should have picked up 50 instead of just 30.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say. Let's bring in a caller. We've got to take a break, but I want to get a caller in on this conversation first. Steve from Santa Fe, welcome to the People Speak Radio. Your question for Brad Friedman.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you, Brad. Brad, I'm sitting here wondering, do you think that all of this is being used by these people that are stealing our elections because we want instantaneous results? And then, of course, the media wants to know immediately. I caught myself last night wondering, okay, polls have been down for an hour. Who won? I mean, doesn't that give them, like, the window of opportunity to use this? And I'll listen online. Thank you, sir, for taking my question.
Sure, and that's a good question. And you know what? I don't think it's the fact that we want the instantaneous results. I think it's the fact that the corporate media wants the instantaneous results, and the election officials are then put under a whole lot of pressure to deliver those results. The people are entirely out of the sequence. I suspect if you asked anybody, hey, would you like your election results quick or would you like them accurately? I suspect the numbers would be, yeah, we'll take them accurately, thank you. And if that means having to wait an extra day or two or week or two, I think we would all survive that. And in fact, we have, you know, I mean, hell, go back to 2000 again. You had a 36-day fight for the presidency of the United States. We didn't know who was going to be announced the winner ultimately. And gosh, it seems like the country survived, sort of. I realize that may not be the perfect example, but we survived. So yeah, I would rather have them correct than have them quick any day. And that whole quickness thing has really opened up the door to what you're talking about, where they say, well, it's, you know, we're America. We can bring science to this thing and get them instantaneously. And in fact, that's what they've done. And with that instantaneousness, our transparency and our right to know that the election has been counted accurately has been completely thrown out the window.
Well, if they want to be quick, put all the primaries on one day in the end of October and spare us, in my opinion. But we got to take a quick break, and we will be back at the People Speak Radio, and we'll be taking your calls and your emails for Brad Friedman right after this.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of entertainment, education, activism, spirituality, politics, and literature. Get involved and make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak every Tuesday and Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Network.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. Economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
Questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
And we are back at the People Speak Radio. This is your host, David Swanson, and our guest for the next 20 minutes is Brad Friedman, creator of bradblog.com, which you should go and visit. Welcome back, Brad.
Thank you, sir.
If you want to get in on this conversation, call now to get your questions to Brad Friedman, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. Anywhere else, 877-489-6350. And we have a ton of questions that have been sent in through the chat room, but I can't resist asking one of my own first because I really want to get your take on this topic, Brad. This recent Supreme Court ruling on photo IDs in Indiana, followed by a primary in Indiana. The statement I got from Congressman Keith Ellison was rather pithy, I thought, on this Supreme Court ruling. Tell me if this is accurate. He says that the Supreme Court justices admit that this does not prevent the fraud it was intended to prevent, is designed to prevent a type of fraud that does not exist, does not prevent the fraud that is a documented problem in the state, and places an extra burden on the poor, minority, elderly, and college voters in Indiana.
Yeah,
if exactly all of that is right. True, what's good in this thing?
Nothing is good in this thing. It's completely unconstitutional. It is meant only to suppress the vote, suppress the legal, constitutional votes of largely Democratic voters, like elderly, minority, youth votes, and as it turns out in yesterday's election, dozens of nuns who were turned away, with the 80 and 90-year-old Catholic nuns who were turned away without being able to cast their vote, simply because, oh, well, they're 98 years old, they don't happen to have a driver's license. So, yeah, the entire thing
was
a
dozen?
Scam.
Brad, or was it hundreds of thousands?
Well,
do
we don't know. In fact, the state admits that 43,000 voters don't have the type of ID that would be required to vote under this new law, and other estimates put it much higher at several hundred thousand. League of Women Voters say that anywhere from 20 to 30 million Americans don't have the sort of state-issued photo ID that is being forced to be used in these new laws that are being pushed only by Republicans. And you're absolutely right. There has never been a case in the entire history of the state of Indiana of in-person voter impersonation fraud, the type of which this law was purportedly meant to deter. It has never happened once, and yet they are willing to risk thousands of voters not being able to cast their legal vote in order to keep it from happening because they fear it might. It's absolutely outrageous, and it's meant only to keep Democrats from being able to cast their vote, period. And it has been a long effort that continues, a long, well-funded, systematic effort to pass these laws in every state in the union.
It's frightening to me, the arrogance of these people, not to have bothered to at least stage an incident of voter fraud, but I guess they didn't think they had to.
They have friends on the court, so they don't need to worry about it. And I was speaking today with the Secretary of State of Missouri, which has really been ground zero for this phony GOP voter fraud scheme. And sure enough, the Republicans who own the State House and the legislature there have put forward a constitutional amendment that they were debating today to allow this to happen. Since last time they tried it, it was found inconveniently unconstitutional. So they're actually changing the Constitution to allow it now that they've gotten the thumbs up from the Supreme Court. So watch for Missouri to be gamed exactly this way this November. And generally, as Missouri goes, so goes the country. So watch out what's going to happen there and in a state near you. This is I can't overstate what a horrible anti-democratic turn of events last week's Supreme Court decision was.
Well, here's a question from Missouri, from Scott in Missouri, although he's asking about New Hampshire. What was the result of the Republican New Hampshire recount?
There was not a lot of change in the recount, and in fact, a minor candidate, a Republican candidate, Albert Howard, stepped up and did have the entire state state counted on the Republican side. There was not a lot of change, of course, in the overall results, but again, we saw miscounts in precinct after precinct, and some that were extraordinary, you know, 20-40% miscounts. For reasons that have still not adequately been explained.
Here's a question from John from the Canadian Rockies. That's apparently where he makes his home. And this is a media question. We all appreciate how useful the Internet has become for social activists. What, if any, are the stumbling blocks to the pro-democracy movement in a post-Internet world?
Oh,
I assume that means an internet world, not a post-internet world.
I presume that means somebody has turned off the tubes. Is that right? In that post-internet
maybe
world,
maybe so. My response then would be absolute terror. I don't know what I would do without the internet.
We're done for. We're done for right now. I mean, the only thing that has I think kept this republic alive, frankly, in many ways, has been the bloggers who have been reporting for years on everything that the corporate media simply failed to even mention. And I'm talking about, you know, WMD in Iraq, torture, the outing of a CIA covert operative for the first time in the history of this nation by the White House. On and on and on, all of these stories have only been reported in the blogosphere, have been pushed for years before the corporate media finally realized that they, you know, were exactly what was going on. So, yeah, we're screwed without the Internet. I would be very concerned in such a world. We would be in far worse shape even than we are now, and we're not in great shape now.
Although a lot of us bloggers have run up against walls of various sorts. I know that you, like I, were working quite closely with Congressman John Conyers when he was for impeachment, when the Democrats were in the minority, and now it seems to be gone.
You mean when he was in favor of impeachment before he was against it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
what do you make of holding these hearings? They're going to be holding yet more hearings on torture, which, as far as I know, was illegal from the birth of this republic, has been criminalized various times and redundantly re-banned. The Democrats are putting another ban on torture in one of its amendments, along with the war money, tomorrow perhaps in the House. And yet, the people responsible at the top for the torture are, you know, riding in limos and dining well. What's going to break through here?
I can't remember what it was that somebody had. Can't remember what it was that had brought somebody to write at one point in a comment. Might have been a Brad blog or over at Democratic Underground or something. You know, when some new outrage had been exposed, whether it was torture or something else, someone said, uh-oh, this may merit another angrily worded letter from the Democrats, and that's pretty much it. And that's apparently their version of accountability. They forgot themselves to read the Constitution and to find that it was their duty, not their choice, but their duty to hold the executive branch accountable for high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, somebody needs to step up, and I don't care. I did not notice in the Constitution that there was a clause saying something like, you know, unless this is an election year. That seems to be what's going on. The Democrats are holding their breath, covering their eyes and their ears, and saying, well, it's an election year. Let's just take the White House back. Let's not rock the boat. I think they imagine they actually will take that White House back. I suggest they may be counting their chickens early. But I don't think that bringing the accountability that they are constitutionally required to would affect that at all anyway, except positively, frankly. But I think they're gambling that, hey, you rank-and-file Democrats can go to hell. What are you going to do, go vote Republican? And I think in many cases they're right. There's Democrats who would not consider voting Republican ever. And so I think they're playing a damn dangerous game here, thinking that, well, they're not going to come after us because the other option is even worse. And, well, there's the problem with the two-party duopoly we've allowed ourselves to get into here.
Indeed. I think that the accurate reading of the clause in the Constitution is unless there's an election within 2 years, which pretty much covers things pretty well. There's a question about the Democrats from Val in New York, who writes, can he, that's you, Brad, comment on what the repercussions could be if Hillary Clinton does not give her run for the nomination, maybe that's give up her run for the nomination, and continues to the convention. And I would just add to this question some numbers. Obama's got 1592. Clinton's got 1419. There are 217 delegates left, right? So for Clinton to win with delegates that actually come from voters or caucus goers, she has to win 90% of the delegates that are left. Nobody imagines that might happen. So are the Democrats accepting that these so-called superdelegates can decide because they know better than the voters, or has nobody done the math?
Oh, I think they've done the math. Look, I mean, ultimately, it's up to any candidate if they want to stay in the race for as long as they want for whatever reason. I mean, you've had, you know, candidates in the past, I'm trying to remember, you know, whether it's a Jerry Brown or a Dennis Kucinich or Ron Paul, you know, who stayed in long after it would look like it was possible that they could win, trying to make a point. Now, you can argue that she's staying in to make the wrong point in a sort of a desperation move, but you know what? Democratic Party is a private party. They can do any damn thing they want. And frankly, this may come to, you may disagree with my thought here, but, you know, I think the party can survive all of the states actually voting. Now, she should certainly drop out because she can't win at this point. But that said, it doesn't really bother me that, you know, people are actually voting for a change for the party's nominee in every state. I think it empowers a lot of folks in a lot of states. It's signing up a lot of new voters. And I don't think it's all that all-fire disastrous if she stays in and if we go ahead with this exercise we quaintly call democracy.
Well, there's certainly silver linings, Brad. What bothers me is that when there's a candidate the corporate media is not fond of, he or she is hounded out of the race after Iowa with 49 states to go. But
that's
when
right.
there's a candidate that the corporate media delights in, whose husband perhaps allowed mammoth conglomeration of the corporate media, they're allowed to stay in forever. And so it's, you know, I'm for every state having a say. I would put them all on the same day and do it as a nation. But that's not what's motivating the corporate media in keeping Hillary Clinton on life support. It's not allowing voters in the remaining states to have a say, I don't believe.
And I concur. And for that, I think you can hold both the corporate media and Hillary Clinton accountable. That's what we should be doing in this country, is raising holy hell. In many cases, it used to be the media that did it for us. Now they don't do it, so now we have to hold their feet to the fire as well. And so, you know, if people feel that way, they should do something about it. And by the way, I tend to agree. I think it's foolish that she's still in there, but it doesn't bother me to the same. You know, I've heard people for months now saying that Hillary needed to drop out for the good of the party. I think the party can survive, in truth, and, you know, allowing people to vote is not all that terrible a thing. It may be selfish on Hillary's part, and she should be held accountable for it, and it may be hypocritical on part of the media, and they should be held accountable for it, but I don't think, to me, I don't see that as the disaster that we have to be overly worried about right now. I think we ought to be worried about every voter, legal voter, having the opportunity to vote this November, and then making sure that that vote is counted and counted accurately. That is going to be a hell of a tall order, David.
What about this optimistic scenario? It goes to a convention. The superdelegates attempt to throw it to Senator Clinton against the will of the delegates chosen by voters, and the people fight, and they rise up, and they raise hell, and Obama comes away with the nomination. And when there's election fraud, the people and the party and the Obama campaign are primed and ready to fight. Am I dreaming?
But if that's what it takes, if people need to fight for their democracy, you know, every year I at Bradblog I post the Declaration of Independence, and I remember on 4th of July, and I remember the first year that I posted it. I think it was in 2004. I was actually, it was actually pretty scary. Have you read that document lately, David?
It reads like an indictment of a guy living in public housing in Washington, D.C.
You know, I thought that, well, the Declaration, it reads, you know, rise up and overthrow the government. And I thought, oh, man, this was, you know, right after the Iraq had been attacked, and it was the worst of the most oppressive, I think, at the moments when, you know, you could not say anything against the President of the United States, anything that questioned your country being perfect in every way. And I was kind of frightened posting that thing. I mean, it calls for overthrowing a king named George and the necessity of the people doing that. It's a pretty damn radical document, and I suspect if anybody wrote something like that today, they'd find themselves at Gitmo pretty damn quick.
Go read that document. Good advice, Brad. We've got about a minute left, and I've been running my mouth, and I want to bring a caller in on the conversation. Rain from Richmond, welcome to the People Speak Radio.
Thanks, and thanks for taking my call. Brad, I heard about you before I heard about David Swanson, who's one of my heroes. Brad, you are, I heard of you before then. My question is about third parties. As you know, Badnarik and the Libertarian and David Cobb, who ran as a Green Party member, won a case in Ohio about voter fraud. Now it's always been hard to get third parties on the ballot, and much harder to verify that third parties are even on the ballot. Do you have any advice for Green Party, Libertarians, and others? I mean, Cynthia McKinney is looking pretty good to me, and I want to make sure that all votes are counted. I don't know how to do it. I am going to become a precinct captain or whatever at my local level, but what do you think?
Good for you being a precinct captain, a poll watcher, a poll judge. It's really important for people to go out and to do that, to participate in the system, because I promise you the bad guys are out there working those polls, and it'd be nice to have more of the good guys in there. That said, it wasn't voter fraud, again, that the Green Party and the Libertarians were concerned about. It was election fraud. The voters are doing just fine. Leave them alone, please. But the elections are a different matter, and they did go to court to try, anyway, to get the recount that John Kerry simply would not. As to third parties, what I'll recommend is, you know, when you get to these elections and people tell you, and, you know, you say, oh, I'm going to vote for Cynthia McKinney if she happens to be the Green Party candidate. And when they tell you that you are wasting your vote, you tell them there is no wasted vote. The only wasted vote is the one that's neither cast or the one that is cast and not counted. This is a democracy. You vote for whoever you want. You don't get a prize for picking the winner. So get out there and vote for who you want. And remember, every time you vote for somebody like a Green Party, they get more money in the next election. So if all those people who thought they were wasting their vote actually went out and cast their vote instead of staying home for whoever it is they wanted, we might have a much better system here.
Good advice, Brad. We've got to wrap up. Thanks, Rain, for calling in, and thanks, Brad, for being on the program. Can you join us again when Ann Coulter's on the show?
I would be delighted to do that anytime. Now, she actually did commit voter fraud, David. If people go to bradblog.com/coulterfraud, they will see one of the very few examples of actual voter fraud that did occur in this country, and it was committed by Ann Coulter. I've got documents to prove it. And by the way, I want to thank Rain for noticing that David Swanson has been hanging on my coattails for years.
It's a problem I'm trying to get over. I'm sorry to people whose questions I didn't get to, including the one about Ann Coulter, but there's your answer, and everyone should go to bradblog.com on a daily basis. Brad, thanks for being with us. Next Tuesday on the People Speak Radio, we will be speaking with former Senator Lincoln Chafee, who we mentioned in this program. Should be a very interesting interview. And next Wednesday evening, Cindy Sheehan, congressional candidate in California's 8th, challenging Nancy Pelosi. And we operate with your money. If you can contribute to these programs, we need your support. Go to thepeoplespeakradio.net and help us out. Back again with you next week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief fountain, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.